There are two words that are quite frequently found together in the Holy Scriptures. And when they are used together, they present a right-about face, as it were, in events or in conditions that exist due to divine intervention. The two words are simply, but God. But God. I tell you, dear friend, when God comes in, there's always a change, one way or another. When he comes in grace, through faith, the change is to salvation. But when he comes in where there is unbelief and sin, there is judgment. Let me draw your attention today to a few passages where these two words, but God, appear. Turning first to Ephesians chapter 2, where we read of the condition of all men, the course that they are following, and the influence that they are under, we see a black, bleak picture of man's condition away from God. Without Christ, without God, and without hope. I read in verse 1 of chapter 2, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." How dark indeed is the picture, and that's a true one. Dead in trespasses and sins indicates that there is no life toward God. You may have natural life, and indeed you have if you are able to listen, but unless you've been born again, you are still dead in trespasses and sins. You are walking according to the course of this world, a world that is under condemnation, a world upon which soon the judgment of God shall fall. You have not been separated from this world through the cross of Christ. You have your manner of living in the lusts of your flesh, and you fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And this is what sin actually is: a desire and an accomplishment of one's own will apart from God. By nature, the children of wrath, and as we have noticed, the children of disobedience, this is what marks us out as sinners. And if left in this condition, we would be doomed. However, beloved friend, I draw your attention to the two words that we are considering, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. But God. What a God it is we have to do with. How wonderfully gracious it is that he wishes to do with us. We who are unworthy, we who have sinned, turned our own way, yet he in his heart of love would go out to us in the riches of his mercy. Mercy is what we all need. Mercy is God's favor to those who are miserable, doing our own will and going our own way, dead in trespasses and sins, is not a happy condition. Well does everyone know who has trod that pathway and has come to his senses like the prodigal when he came to himself. And he remembered the love of his father and all that was there. And he turned back home. It was the thoughts of God that has brought sinners to himself. And I trust today that the thought of God, who is rich in mercy toward you, and considering his great love, wherewith he loved you, will bring you to him, for he will receive you. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. What a change God brings into this condition of ours. By grace ye are saved through faith. God has provided in His love salvation for the dead in trespasses and sins. When the situation is hopeless, but God, who is rich in mercy, comes in His love and grace and gives life, quickening. He imparts life to those who hear His voice through His word, who believe and live. My dear listening friend, have you heard His voice? And have you been blessed by the intervention of God, bringing Him into your personal need and problem, accepting Him into your heart? You may. God grant that you will. But turn next, if you will, to Romans chapter 5 for our second scripture. In this remarkable chapter, we read in verse 6, again, our condition by nature, when we were yet without strength. Man has absolutely no ability to do one thing that can please God because he is rendered ruined and helpless by sin. Sin has ruined everything. Look around you. Look into your own life, into your own home. The proof is evidenced on every hand. Without strength to change it, all the plans and schemes and endeavors on the part of men do not remedy the condition one bit, but the condition only worsens as time goes on. Ungodly, the same verse tells us we are. An ungodly person is one that leaves God out of his life. And by nature, this is what we all do. But in verse 8, let me draw your attention to the two words we're considering, words that denote a tremendous change. But God, commendeth His love toward us. Toward whom? Toward the ungodly, those who are without strength. The same verse says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Those without strength, those who are ungodly, those who are sinners, are those to whom God commends His love. God commendeth. He still commends His love to you and to all. He's not willing that any should perish. It's not the fact that you are a sinner that's going to keep you out of heaven. If you reject the Savior in His death for you, that's what will keep you out of heaven. God's love goes out to sinners. God's love goes out to those who are ungodly. God's love goes out to those who are without strength. In fact, in verse 10, the apostle speaks of our being enemies. And that's indeed what we are by nature, before we know God as Savior, enemies of His. Does God love us? He does. God loves you, and He wants that you should receive His love and what His love has provided. His love has provided a Savior who died for the ungodly, who died for sinners. Have you seen yourself as the sinner for whom Jesus died? Do you realize yourself as ungodly for whom Christ died? Beloved friend, I urge you today to stop and consider this, because have you not yet trusted Him as Savior? You are lost. You are ruined. But God and His salvation, provided through His love, which He commends to you, is still available to you on the principle of faith. And as the first verse of this chapter goes, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn now with me to Acts chapter 13. The Apostle Paul is preaching. And he's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was rejected by the Jewish people and the Gentiles as well. In the 28th verse, he speaks of his death. He says, though they found no cause of death in him, yet they desired Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. The apostle is recounting the events of that memorable day. Never has there been a day like it when the Son of God yielded himself up to the hands of wicked men that he might fulfill the purpose for which he came into the world, to save sinners, to give his life as a substitute for all who will have him. Men thought that they triumphed that day, those that hated him without a cause. They took him down from the tree and they laid him in the sepulcher. And we know how they sealed that sepulcher. He wasn't to be disturbed. They were going to show that he was not going to rise again, as he had said. The next verse, however, brings in divine intervention. We read simply those two words again, shining forth from verse 30, but God. The men laid him in a sepulcher, but God raised him from the dead. Here we have the victory accomplished by our God in the putting away of man's sin through the death of his Son. The work which he did in shedding his blood and giving his life completely satisfied all of God's righteous demands. And in accord with his holiness, he raised him from the dead. God triumphed over man's sin. And God triumphed over man's hatred and unbelief and rejection. You might try, dear friend, to get rid of God, to get rid of Christ. You might try to keep him buried, but the blessed Son of God, who loves you and gave himself for you at Calvary, lives, and you're going to have to deal with him. He wants to deal with you now in grace. If you come to him in simple faith and believe on him, be it known unto you that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things. That's the word of the gospel to you, because God has raised him from the dead. You come to God through Christ by faith, you'll meet a living Savior. However, I would remind you and warn you that should you not come to him in the day of grace, should you die in your sins, you will meet him at the great white throne and find him to be a living judge who will consign you to outer darkness forever. Yes, God has triumphed over man's wicked deed of the rejection and the crucifixion of Christ, but God raised him from the dead. I close with one passage in Luke 12, where we read of a man who was very prosperous, and he decided that he was going to tear down his barns and build greater. In verse 19, he says, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Perhaps the last words he said. Memorable last words. But notice, divine intervention. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Will you not think of this? Do you expect to live many years? Are you planning way into the future? Oh, listen, let this but God speak to your soul. He holds your life in his hands. He may require your soul this night. Where will you be in eternity? I leave it with you, but I urge that you turn to this one that I have presented, who lives, a victorious, triumphant Savior, who is commended to you by the love of God in the preaching of the gospel, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May God bless his word.